Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior, we thank Thee for another opportunity to be gathered together with some of Thy dear people, gathered around Thy Word. We pray that Thou wouldst open the hearts of each of us, that we might observe the wonderful truths out of Thy Word. Not so much from what the speaker says, but from the very Word itself. We know that Thy Word is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and as a discerner of the things of our heart. So, Father, we just trust that Thou wouldst guide and direct. We think of those that have been laid aside. We ask that Thou wouldst be with them as well. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. All right, we start with the 13th verse. Now, the stories of the parable of the rich man, but originally when the scripture was written, there were no chapters and verses, etc. And sometimes the divisions weren't always in the best place. But it does make a help when it comes to searching. If we had the Bible like they did years ago, if you tried to find a certain portion, unless you knew the Bible almost by heart, you'd be out of luck. You'd be spending all your life searching. All right, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no place or room to bestow my crops? And he said, Thus will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by being anxious, can add to his stature one cubit, or approximately 18 inches? If ye then are not able to do that which is least or the simplest, why are ye anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is tomorrow in the field, and today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, neither be ye double-minded. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which grow, not old, a treasure in the heavens, that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither doth moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm afraid there are too many of us that are seeking and grasping after the things this world has got to offer. I can't remember just what the verse is or verses, but the Word of God tells us that we should have enough that we don't have to steal to feed our people, our families. But not so much that we forget God. And you know, you think that's not so. Well, I can tell you of different people that had good intentions for the Lord. And when they got wealth, they got so wrapped up in finances, they didn't have time for God. And for those that have never been in business, you think the businessman, he can go off on a journey, take a trip, that's it. His business goes with him. There's very few that can forget it. But the Lord gives us, we're stewards. If we've got the wherewithal, we should be helping those that don't. And if nothing else, we have, and it should maybe should be first place, we have missionaries all over the world, and they need help. Some of them are getting by with very, very little. And you don't see them running out asking for help. Now, there are certain groups that they have all kinds of, they have lotteries and everything else. But God says another thing. We're not to take from the Gentiles or the unsaved. But many of them are continually making collections, and it doesn't matter who puts in the pot. All right, I've got a number of verses first we're going to read, and then some others I'm going to have to read, and if you can follow, fine. Because I can't quote them all, and some I can quote, and some I forget parts of them, and I don't want to do that. All right, if there's a description as to this man, he was rich. Let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. First Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this age or world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And while we're there, we look at a couple other verses. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, it's not money, it's the love of money, is the root of all evil, which, while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You want to see a good picture of it? Look at Hollywood. Look at all these groups that have made a lot of money in a hurry that never had money before. And once they get it in their hands, it just seems like they go berserk or they lose all sense. All right. Then he was very successful. Psalms 49. Psalms 49, and we'll begin with the 11th verse. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They called their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approveth their saying, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in Sheol or the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in Sheol or the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, He shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he liveth, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou dost well to thyself. And isn't that the case? Whenever someone makes good in business, no matter how he's made well, people praise him. He's a shrewd, he's a smart operator. Yeah, he's a smart operator. Most of them are crooked. Not all of them, but the better part of them, they're not above board in everything. And some are just absolutely crooks. All right, I'd like to look at chapter 73 in Psalms while we're in that book. 73, and we'll begin with the third verse. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Haven't we all done that? For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, a pride compasseth them about like a chain. Violence covereth them like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. So you see, this is nothing new in this day and age. It might be standing out more, that's all. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my soul was grieved, and I was pricked in my heart. So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was like a beast before thee. That's very much like the hearts of men and women right to this day. Now that doesn't mean that you just go out and you squander what the Lord has given you, or to use it wisely. But I'm afraid too many of us, we get it, we either spend it on ourselves or we're penny pinchers. And all we do is hoard it up, and we don't put anything in God's treasury. Then we find that he was covetous in Psalms again, Psalm 62. Tenth verse. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Set not your heart upon your riches or your wealth. Psalms 119. And the 36th verse. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. How many times have you wished or wanted what the other guy had? When a child comes into the world, what's the first thing he's doing? He's reaching and he's grabbing. He's already coveting, whether he realizes it or not. Watch the little guys. It's mine, it's mine, no, it's mine. And they end up with a fight over it. And that continues on to maturity as well, if we don't keep it in hand. keep it controlled. And then he was anxious. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and we'll begin with the 6th verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We find there was a choice as to the right for the rich man in Mark. Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark 10, we'll begin with the 17th verse. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Well, that's a foolish statement to begin with. You don't do anything to inherit eternal light or to receive anything. It's given to you. Someone has to die for you to inherit anything. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And we find that in our courts every day. Defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. But did you notice something? These things only had to do with mankind. There was nothing said as to his relationship with God. You and I can't even keep the first commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Maybe for a few moments. Try and do it for 5 minutes without something coming into your mind and distracting you or getting you away from it. Now that doesn't mean that you're to be just constantly on your knees. It means that everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you speak would be done to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. Why? He had great possessions. His possessions, his wealth, controlled him. A wealth is just something for us to use, something to work with, something to take care of our families, loved ones, or people in need. So we find that this rich man made a choice as well. And then how covetous he was, we find in Luke 12, beginning with the 15th verse. He said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. He spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And look at all of those words here. He thought, he said, What shall I do? Because everything's he and I and my. I have no place to bestow my crops. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But there's a three-letter word that follows it, but. He didn't take God into his thoughts or his plans. Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then what will you do with all of this wealth? Now we find that there was a resolution. We noted the pronouns, 17 through 19. Its source was himself. 2 Timothy 3 and 2. We read that, I believe, in Philippians 2, 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, while we're passing through this land, we're just here temporarily. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then the devil is your father, and you'll go to be with your father, the devil. There are those that say, well, when I'm in hell, I'll play craps with the devil. That's all. The word tells us it's the blackness of darkness for eternity. You won't even be able to see your hand, let alone any of your friends. I dare say, except for the wee one there, everyone here has burned his or her hand. Tell me who you were thinking about when you burned your hand. Your friends? The only person you were thinking about is the guy that got burned. And we're told that hell is what? Fire and brimstone. There'll be weeping, there'll be wailing. You can find that at a hospital or at a mortuary. But there's a third. There'll be grinding or gnashing of teeth. You don't find that at a mortuary. You find that when there's literal pain. You'll be in such pain you won't be thinking about anyone. But praise the Lord, I believe just about everyone here knows Christ as Savior. And some say, well, I'll go where my loved one is. You won't know them. The only place you're going to know your loved one is in glory with the Lord. Hell, the only one you'll be concerned with in hell is yourself. You won't be able to see anyone else. All you'll know is pain. And it's not like pain for a little while, you know, you get a sore hand or that, and it bothers you. Every time you move it, it always seems that's the place it gets bumped. But you know this, eventually it's going away, even if you have to die, but it's going away. In hell, there is no going away. Had its source, we just got through with that. It had its object, verses 18 and 19 of Luke. And he said, everything here, all these pronouns, me, that's all it was. Or my, or I. 1 Corinthians 10. Corinthians 10 and verse 24. That no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. But that doesn't mean you're out there trying to make somebody else rich. You're looking out for your neighbors. You're looking out for those that you come in contact with. But we go out there today and the most of the people are looking out for who? Number one, hang the neighbors, hang the friends. That isn't what God says, though. Portion three is the delusion. He made three fatal errors. Professor Orr made these things. Now, there's more verses to it than I will give you. He mistook his body for his soul. Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. The wealth has blinded your eyes to the condition you're in, to the position you're in. You're on the broad road that leads to eternal destruction or damnation. And eternal destruction never means annihilation. It's what, like death. Death just means separation. In the physical, the separation, the soul and the spirit leave the body. The second death is eternal separation from God. And if you have eternal separation from God, you're in hell. We're not going to be able to hardly get through with any of this. And then the second thing, put self in God's place. He left God out of his considerations. Psalms 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in their thoughts. And thirdly, he mistook time for eternity. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now we're going to skip all the rest of this. I want to get down to the latter part of it. In Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's going to be a judgment for the Christian too. Not as to his salvation, but as to what crowns he will receive in glory. Another put it as to how much joy he will receive in glory. But if all the saints here receive more joy than me, I won't know the difference. But I'll be happy. Each one of us on our maybe a little different level, but we'll all be happy. And our crowns, what do we do with them? We cast them before the King of Kings. And I believe every child of God will have a crown of some sort to cast. We're told, even if we give someone a glass of water in the Lord's name, when we see so-called Christians that do nothing, like a dear sister here, she says she's a fruit inspector. That's how we know. Now, we may get fooled, but on the whole, we'll know who the Christians are and who aren't. Then John 5:29, the Lord speaking, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which they that are in the graves shall hear my voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment or damnation. Notice there are two resurrections. And there's going to be at least 1,007 years between them. The first resurrection is going to be those of us that are here. We'll be caught up together with those in the clouds that have already. The Lord comes. And those that are in the graves that have a corruptible body, the body that has corrupted, will be made incorruptible. If the Lord were to come at this very moment, we are mortal. We can die, but we're going to put on immortality. All of us will be like our Lord. And we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then we come back with Him at the next judgment. There's another one in between, but it's minor, except for the folks that will be in it, because there are those that will be saved during the tribulation. They'll be raised. But there are those that have heard the gospel and have rejected Christ. After the rapture, they're left for judgment. That's all there is to it. God has given plenty of warning. There's no excuse for anyone once they've heard the gospel. For those that haven't heard the gospel, the Lord won't make any mistake in His judging of what He does. We leave that in His hands. Then we go to John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands who gave them to me. The Lord has each one of us that are saved in His hands, but we're also in the hands of the Father. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And there's a word in Scripture says, a threefold cord or rope is not easily broken. And for those of us that have been in construction, etc., the strongest of cords, cables, what have you, they're three. And then most of us can all quote this, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord, to those that are the called according to His purpose. So whatever happens to us, God has allowed it for a purpose. That's to make better persons out of us. Or maybe some other person will learn a lesson from whatever we're going through. I know my father, when he was on his deathbed, he was a very, very strong man. Exceptionally strong, but he couldn't whip the cancer. When it finally got him, the doctor said he will live until the cancer gets to his heart. He couldn't even take water. But he said this, he didn't know why the Lord was leaving him, but there was a reason. So he just left it in the Lord's hand. That's rather comical. The nurse came in, she checked his pulse, she checked his heart, and she covered him up and said, he's gone. And Pop sat up and looked around as though to say, well, I'm not gone yet. Then he went back, that was the last, and he was gone, he was with the Lord. And then I'd like to look at a portion in Luke 14, time's up. So many times, we as God's dear people, we forget this. The Lord speaking, Luke 14, verse 25. And there went out a great multitude with him, and he turned, in other words, he had his back to them as he walked away, and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Did you see what he's saying? We're admonished to love our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, other parts of the family. But our love to them, in comparison to our love to the Lord, should be as hate. There's that much difference, or there should be that much difference between our love for our God and the ones we love here. And the ones we love here, we should be love them with all our heart. The love for God should be that much greater. You know, sometimes we have friends, we have loved ones come to visit us. We can't go because they're there. Well, why don't you bring them along? If they don't want to come, they can wait till I come back. But I'm going to be there, especially at the breaking of bread. When we had the breaking of bread, we're there to meet the Lord, not just to sit through a meeting. We should be there looking to see the Lord spiritually, in our hearts. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the infinite love that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We know that we've got that old nature in us. And if we're not careful, it always crops up that we find the Apostle Paul said that we're to crucify self or the old nature daily. We're to put the old nature down. And may we love Thee in such a way that, as we were just mentioning, if we're to leave our loved ones or friends at home while we're at the meeting, that very love for Thee and going to the meeting would very possibly teach them a lesson. If they can see that our love for the Lord is such that they had to wait, then very possibly they would realize that there is something or someone worth such love. Very possibly this is one of the reasons the Lord even mentions this. So may we all be faithful to Himself. May He be first in our lives, our thoughts, everything that we do. We thank You for the fact that Thou knowest all of our shortcomings, but we're also admonished to put down what? That sin that doth so easily beset us. And all of us have something, no matter how little or how big, it's something. And even if it's under control, we better be very careful to keep it under control. And we thank Thee again for Thy great love towards us. We think of the fearful price that was paid. Possibly the best physical specimen that ever set foot on this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that He was so brutalized that He was not recognizable as a human being. But we have to remember He was a sinless man. Adam was. Eve, possibly the best looking couple that ever were on this earth. But they fell. And here was very God, God the Son, in all of His perfection. His glory was hid. Remember that on the Mount of Transfiguration, there were those that were with Him that saw His glory for a short portion. And the Father could say, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." So may we all be very careful to listen to His word and to obey His word. Now we ask, Father, that Thou would be with each of us as we all go to our several homes. Take us there in safety. Be with us throughout the coming week. If our Lord be not come, we will with Himself all the better. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. These things we ask in His name and for His sake.